What were the facts? How about that? Let's start with something simple. What was Tosfos' position factually? When can you say the Zayin Brachos? When can you not say the Zayin Brachos?
Only when you've established.
What was his lashon?
Chuppah.
What's that? The Gemara says Ein Simcha El B'Chuppah.
Here, wait.
Tosfos said that means what?
Mashma Dafka B'Makom Chuppah. Dehu Beis Chatan.
Okay, that's all true. That was a key phrase in Tosfos, though.
Read the whole
Tosfos. That's not the key phrase. Yeah, you're going to read the whole Tosfos?
Yeah, no, I don't know.
So, Sammy, what's the key phrase in Tosfos?
Makom Iker Yeshivas.
Makom Iker Yeshivas. Chasam Mekal. The essential place, the place where they are rooted, the place where they are kavua. That is the place and only the place that's appropriate for the Birchas Chasanim and Shasim Chumma'ono. But someplace else, if they would go outside, says Tosfos, they would leave that place and they would be someplace else, you would not be able to recite Shasim Chumma Ono or the Perikos Chasanim. That would not be the proper venue for those brachos. Why? So what did we say yesterday? Do you remember?
Because it's they're not... Yeah, the chuppah has to be the Iker chuppah that you're in. It can't just be some sort of temporary.
But why? He's right. He says the place that you're there, Ba'akroi Ba'alma, towards the end of Tosfos,
because
right?
You have Simcha in your chuppah.
Right? But not the place where you're Ba'akroi Ba'alma. Why not? I could be just... Why can't I just be happy? I'll be make a celebration in some other place, but it won't be the place where is my Iker Makom Yeshiva.
Because you're walking in that part of Simcha.
Yeah, what's... I'm asking what that part is, I'm just saying.
Because you're lacking in the part of having a new house.
Right, and it's being unique as a married person is not fully demonstrated in a place that's not your makom. Right? I don't fully express the simcha of being married in a place that is a place that's Ba'akrai Ba'alma.
I believe that in terms of halakha, it's not relevant today, but to the halacha, and when you were going to war, if you were someone who had built a new house recently, you were exempt from going to war because you didn't get to enjoy it yet.
Okay, yeah, there were certain people that would come back, right? You planted a vineyard, you just built a new house, you just got married, or if you were afraid that you did a certain sin that was going to catch up with you also, right? You'd be chozer.
But that's
I'm just giving a couple of examples. You're right, though, there is a certain sense that a person's not going to be able to be an effective soldier because he feels that he's missing something, not fully
right,
focused.
So you do get a certain enjoyment out of your new house.
Right, I think it's a good point. It's a good point. I think here it's more of what the house represents, a certain sense of the larger sense of bias. It's a bias namo Yisrael. You're building a new home. You're building a new unit. You're building a married life. That's demonstrated in a place that is Iker Makom Yeshiva. In a place that's open to the public, a place that's not a place where you would sleep, you're not really showing that. Anyone could be there. Like Pesach said before, anyone could be in a restaurant, anyone could be a guest in someone else's house. You don't have to be married to be in those places. So where is it that you really demonstrate your new life, your new married life, your new existence as a husband and wife? That's Iker Makom Yeshiva. That's the Makom that is defined as Beis Chasanim. That's why you can't have bracha. You could have simcha. It could be that you might be very happy. You can make merry in that place. But in terms of expressing the full simcha, that can't be done in a place that is not unique to you or doesn't have kvias. Okay, a place that's Ba'akrai Ba'alma, you don't have that. That was a sheet of Tosfos, the way we explained it yesterday. The Ran cites Tosfos, says according to Tosfos, it's going to go one step further, and then he takes issue. So let's take a look at the Ran. The Ran is on Yud Aleph Amud Beis Nadav Beharif. We have a volunteer to read. Someone that hasn't read in a while. Avi Markowitz, you want to do the honors?
Sure.
Okay.
Where are we?
Yud Aleph Amud Beis in the Dape Harif.
What was Zach on?
I'm not sure.
Do you know Zach?
Zacharu?
What's
Zach?
Are you with us?
Zachariah.
Yes, sir.
Dimeha. Shem'inan she'em yotze chasan mechupaso afilu kolaso
kolaso
ima.
What does that mean?
Means.
Okay, this is you recapping Tosfos, right? He says the Bali Tosfos say that if you're a chasan, and even with your kala, right? Even if you leave with your kala, but you leave the chuppah, then what?
Shaking the name?
Yeah, I'm asking a question though.
Oh, okay. It was just very quiet.
It was quiet because you didn't say anything.
Oh, then, yeah.
So you leave, if you're the chasan, you leave the chuppah even with your kala. Go ahead. V'holchen.
V'holchen le'chol.
V'bayis
acher. Ein mevarachen she'hash hasmich simcha b'mono v'lo brachas berchas chasanim.
Right. So, again, this is just repetition of Tosos. According to Tosos, if you're the chasan and you leave the chuppah and you go to bayis acher. By the way, what do you see from that lashon? It's an interesting lashon.
Bayis acher?
Considered your house.
Yeah, bayis acher. Another house. A different house. The implication is that according... What's that?
If it was a different place, it would be makom acher.
Right, in other words, Tosos is saying that a bayis, that's the chuppah. Now, chuppah doesn't mean the canopy where you got married, as he says. It's the place where your ikar makom yeshiva is, which is some form of bias. So you leave that bias and you go to bias acher, a different house.
Well, I'm saying, he's saying bias because you can have many houses in one area, in like one place, because you can have your sukkah in your yard.
Right.
So it's not like you're in a different area, you're in a different dwelling.
Oh, 1 second, but that's when he takes that next step. Ron says, according to Tosos, even if you are in the same area, but you're not in the bias, it's not going to be good. Well, let's hold off 1 second. De'ain simcha ela b'chuppa. Right? You can't make the brachos in that venue. Why? Because ain't simcha ela b'chuppa. Umashma
da'filu be'osa chazer.
Chatzer. What does that mean?
In your courtyard.
Right. In the same chatzer. In other words, the chasan will leave that bias. Now go out into the chatzer. Go out into the yard. We'll have a. Again, I don't know if you had to say this according to Tosos, but this is the way the Ran is taken very literally, that if you leave the bias and you go out into the yard, which presumably is the same Rishus as the bias, the guy goes into the backyard, make a barbecue in the backyard, and you have the Shavuot Brachos over there, the Ran is saying according to Tosos, that would be no good. You wouldn't be able to make the Brachos there. Why? Because you're not in the Chuppah. You're not in the Makom that is Iker Yeshivas Chasan and Kala. Again, because an open area like that is open to everybody. It doesn't demonstrate life as a married couple. Okay?
Ukedeksivna.
Okay, that's it, as it's been written.
Ubod.
Now he's going to comment. This is the Ran's comment on the Shita of the Tosos. All this is essentially a recap of Tosos, yes? With the one exception... To one extension here of the chotzer idea, which you don't find openly stated in Tosos. Tosos doesn't mention the idea of filu ba'osa chotzer. That's the Ran's expansion. This is what Tosos would say. Okay, now the Ran himself is going to comment on this sheet of Tosos.
Ubodai.
Ubavadai.
Ubavadai. Sheha simcha b'mono. Omrin. Osa afilu.
Osa, omen osa. That bracha of simcha meona, that introductory section of the benching, which you normally say when you say shavu brachos. So the Ran says, no, I have to differ with Tosos. I maintain, bavadai, certainly, shav simcha meona, omen osa afilu.
Afilu shelo bechopa.
Afilu shelo bechopa. What does that mean? That you're gonna say even. Even in the absence of chuppah. Even without the chuppah. He's arguing. I'm arguing on Tosos. The Ran is saying. I think Tosos is mistaken. That even in the absence of chuppah, you do make shasim from the ono. You make that blessing.
Dehamachi remo.
Tosos had originally cited this particular line.
I don't recall that.
No, you brought something else.
Okay. Why, you're remembering a quote from Ksubas?
Yeah, Tosfos cited something from Ksubas. I was just wondering.
Yeah, what he brought from Ksubas was an earlier Gemara that machlokas, whether or not you say Birkas Chasanim, Dafka Bebeis Chasanim, or even in Beis Erison. Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and his colleagues, whether or not the brachas can appropriately be recited in the Beis Erison. Rabbi Yehuda held even in the Beis Erison, whereas the other opinion said no, only in the Beis Chasanim. Is that the Gemara that you're referring to?
Could be, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a different.
Beis Erison means even at betrothal.
Even at time of betrothal, we celebrate the betrothal. Today we don't really have that. It doesn't exist, essentially, today, because Erison and Nisuin take place within a few moments. In the time of the Talmud, they would get betrothed, give the woman up, you know, a year to get her dowry together, and the chassan would get the house together. And a year later, they would reconvene for the Nisuin, or up to a year later. It's not as that. It's not like that. It's not.
Like what we call Erison today, why don't we do what Erison was back then?
Well, we do it, just very...
Why don't we do it right then?
Yeah.
Well, why don't we extend? Why don't we do it?
It's not,
why
it's
don't we make Kiddushin?
Kiddushin and Erison are the same thing. I mean, one reason is very practical, that a woman is now an Eish HaSish for a year. You know, he's setting up a more difficult situation.
Why
is
she
stands on Eish HaSish at that time.
And then what? And then she has to go...
No, so she's like a married woman. So she's... No, not necessarily
and
that.
What changes for her? What becomes...
Let's say she decides she doesn't want to get married. Or he decides she doesn't want to get married. So now she has to get a get.
She must have not the same yet married.
She's an Eish HaSish.
That's the thing. Well, they did, but it wasn't nearly...
I'll tell you a step further. There were... I mean, there are still people who do this. In the Hasidic community, it's very common to have a tenoyim. Called a signing of a tenoyim. I don't know if Sfarim do it at all, but Ashkenazim at a wedding, they'll sign another document at the chassan's tish. It's really ceremonial at that point, doesn't really have any halachic validity because they're essentially getting married 10 minutes later. But the tenoyim is essentially a deal or an arrangement between the two sides. In the old, real elaborate versions of the tenoyim, it actually spelled out what the kal is going to bring into the marriage, what the chassan's family is going to provide. You know, you're bringing this many sheep, we'll give this many ox, whatever it is. Today's more pro forma, basically just says that everything's been done, the chassan's going to be a good husband, the kala's going to be a good wife, and the families are going to do what they are supposed to do. And all that needs to be done is just to bring them to the chuppah. It doesn't really have any meaning, and we do it right before. But the chassidim would do the tanayim months in advance, and the reason why very often you don't see that done is because there were shittos that held if you did a tanayim, a real formal tanayim, and then you decide you didn't want to get married, it could very well be that you would need a get from tanayim. That the tanayim almost had the status of an erison, and therefore it's really been discontinued outside the Hasidic community. The Grof, for example, held that a broken tanayim really needed a get. So it's in order to avoid that whole question, to avoid that whole problem, you see, unfortunately, there are engagements that are broken fairly regularly. So why should you start making more problems, making a woman a grusha, or you know, getting into a suffix, whether or not a woman needs a get? That's essentially, practically, why we don't do those things. You want to say something? I'm sorry.
I know that Sephardim can do it, because I think there's like a thing of like, oh, I'll throw in a car, and like all of it like becomes like a thing to see who's going to up the other
one. Oh, really? I don't know. Zach, you have anything to say about that?
No, I have no idea.
Okay, I don't know.
I'm doing a very quick practical point on marriage contract.
Yeah. This is not the marriage contract. This is something out. This is not the ksuba, for example. But you want to say something about the ksuba?
Yeah, I was just going to say that when you get married, you should always write in the ksuba that any monetary problems should be handled through arbitration and not or through rabbi.
Oh, that's something else. That's not the ksuba.
Yeah, that's just a practical piece of advice to save you hundreds of thousands of dollars should you ever get divorced.
The only thing I know different
that's
about
prenup.
Sephardic weddings is they
in
do that,
point
that
a prenup.
Kind of thing.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Why the only thing I know different about the Sephardic wedding is they do like that henna thing on the hand.
They did a henna, right. Yeah, that's different. Is that for the chassan also, or just for the kala?
I think everyone does it.
And they paint it. They do something with the red. They do that now for everyone.
Yeah.
It's called henna. It's a red dye. I don't know. That's.
Anyway,
we don't have that.
I'm going to do that.
What? Yeah, they like that. Okay. Okay, fellas, let's get back on track here. So the Ran quotes this Tosos, and he says, no, I I disagree. Bavada, you would make shasim pomono. Afila shalom b'chopa, based on the Gemara and Ksubas. And then he says, v'kevan shekein. Right, you're reading. Right.
It's true.
V'kevan shekein. Does everyone see that? V'kevan shekein, three lines down in the Iran. V'kevan shekein. And since that's the case. Since what's the case? Since it's the case that you make the shasim b'mono.
Even if it's not at the chuppah.
Since I proved now from the Gemara and Ksubas that you make shasim chumamono even in the absence of chuppah, so then what stands to reason? That you also do what? Yesh lomar.
Tafilu shelo b'makam chuppah
mevarchin.
Mevarchin brachos.
Berchas.
Berchas chasanim.
Stop for this. Stop. Berchas chasanim.
I was going to stop.
Yeah. Berchas chasanim. Why does that make sense? V'kevan shekein. Since that's so, yesh lomar. What kind of step is he making here? He's gonna speak it out.
You should say birchas chasanim because that's what's going on. It's for the chasam, the whole thing.
But he's saying it based on the fact that you make shasim chumono. Since you're already making shasim chumono, it stands to reason that you also make birchas chasanim outside the chuppah. Why? I'm just saying logically. Why does that make sense?
Could they go together?
Because simcha ma'ono is of greater importance and...
Well, that's what it would sound like. I don't think it doesn't... It's not a kal v'chomer, right? You would say, it's hard to say that because the brachos...
is a different type of bracha, but you would say it's still a greater, more important bracha to say. So
I don't think that's what he means. I don't think it's... I don't think it's a kol shekein or a kal v'chomer because you're talking about saying Shem Hashem seven more times. Now, or really six more times. Bari Prag often you'd say anyway. So let's say six more times. Maybe you didn't have to. I don't know if that's necessarily true.
Well, but I'm not saying like it's. But saying Hashem's name more times doesn't necessarily mean that that's greater. I'm saying
because it's potential for bracha latala many more times over if it's not warranted.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Right.
Yeah.
So what does he mean? Anyone?
Is it the language of the bracha itself?
But what is he saying? He's saying you can make the bracha of shasim chumono outside the chuppah. And since that's the case already, you can also make the Zion brachos. Why? Because what's he saying? He's saying this is a suda which warrants celebrating the simcha. This suda is an expression of the simcha.
And since we're celebrating the
simcha. If I show you that you could celebrate this simcha, it's not just people getting together who happen to be in a good mood who are still connected to the wedding. No, halachically, this suda is an expression of the simcha of chasan and kala. How do I know that? Oh, from the Gemara and Ksubas, which says I could say shah simcha ma'ono. Oh, now that I know that this suda is a proper expression of the simcha of chasan and kala, so now it stands to reason that I can make the Zion brachos. What about the fact that the Gemara says ain simcha el b'chuppah? Hey, you have to deal with that. It's nice to tell me that I can have simcha and say shah simcha ma'ono outside the chuppah, just to posit that. Based on the Gemara...
You can say this represents chuppah, right?
No, he's not going to say that. What do you mean represents chuppah? He's saying it's not in the chuppah. Outside the chuppah, you could still say shah simcha ma'ono. Once I know that, I know that this is a meal of simcha. Oh, now I'll say also that the Zayin brachos are appropriate. What about the Gemara that says Ein Simcha El B'chuppah? So let's see, he speaks it out. Anyone want to just say outside? I'm sure everyone got to see it before. So what's his point? How do you deal with Ein Simcha El B'chuppah? Daniel, do you remember?
Yeah.
How does he navigate this point? Yeah, Avi, you want to say something?
No, I wasn't here.
Oh, you were just pointing to someone. I saw you moving your hand. I thought, you're just
I was
digging.
I understanding it.
Okay, so let's see. Let's see.
It's like the chuppah is any place where the chasan and kala are found.
Well, you might say that. Maybe you would say that, if not for the fact that he has a different lashon. What I'm saying is, there might be other rishonim that hold that way. But I don't know that the Ran's saying that. Let's look at the Ran's language. What does he say?
That's
what he says? He says that's called chuppah?
He says...
Any place where they are is called chuppah?
Not that it's called chuppah.
Oh, that's what you said. I thought.
That they could say the bracha. Then.
Yeah, but I'm asking why. I'm asking what does the Gemara mean when it says ain simcha el b'chuppah? So you're saying, well, any place where they happen to be is called chuppah. What I'm saying to that is, there may be other Rishonim that very well hold that way. I don't think the Ran is one of them. Because what does the Ran actually say? What does the Ran actually say?
It says, Deha bracha afagav, demesham simcha ka'asya.
It's true. The Ran says, you know what? It's true. These brachos are only appropriate when there's a proper expression of the simcha. It's true. But what?
Lo
taliya b'chuppah. But they're not taliya, they're not tully. Taliya means contingent. They're not reliant. They don't hinge. They don't hang on the presence of the chuppah. It's true that you can only say these brachos when there is simcha. And the Gemara says, ain't simcha ela b'chuppah, but you know what? These brachos are not contingent on the presence of the chuppah. What do you mean? The Gemara says, ain't simcha ela b'chuppah. So what must we say?
V'hacha
hachi kamrinan.
Kamrinan.
This is what we mean to say over here. V'hacha over here, this is what it means to say.
De'ekar simcha leisa ela b'chuppah.
Good. So what does that mean? What does that mean?
You don't have simcha unless you're in the chuppah.
That's not what he's saying.
He's in lesa, like, it's not, right? It's lesa.
Translate the words.
Oh, that the ikar simcha is not in the chuppah. I'm totally
wrong. I think he's saying.
Yeah, you're totally wrong. Come on, guys. This is an important line here.
What is lesa? Right, any chance?
There is no. It is not.
There is no simcha. It's
Hacha, hachi kamrinan. The is ikar simcha, leisa ela b'chuppa.
There's no ikar simcha.
Except for where?
In the sukkah. In the chuppah.
So what word is he throwing in here?
Ikar.
Right, ikar.
This is a chiddush.
The original.
The essential.
Essential.
The essential.
You gotta know that word.
The essential. Right. The essential simcha is only where? Is in the chuppah. That's what's only in the chuppah. The primary simcha. The main simcha.
Which means what? Like the first one?
Good question. What does it mean? What does it mean? Well, what does it mean for these brachos?
They can only say that.
No, it means nothing for the brachos.
Right.
It means that it's true. On some level, the simcha that's taking place in the chuppah, that's ikar simcha. The best simcha, the primary simcha, the simcha in its fullest form, the fullest expression of simcha, that's only going to be present where? Ikar mokam yeshivas chasan and kala. But you want to know something? Brachos don't need that. These brachos, these acts of expressing the simcha, don't need the ikar simcha. They don't need the ikar simcha. Where can they be said?
Anywhere.
In certain places that are even not ikar makom yeshivas chasan kala. Let's see what he says.
V'kach noagim hayom levar.
Now, when he says kach noagim hayom, he's talking about in his time, right? The Ran is saying in his, in the Middle Ages.
Levarech berachas chasanim bechol achas
mibate
hachasana.
Stop. What does that mean?
Nowadays, we do in every house of chasana, meaning every house.
Sounds like every place where they would celebrate.
Yeah.
Every place where they would have to be celebrating during the Zayimei Mishta, bate hachasana. In all the homes of the chasana. What does that mean, all the homes of the chasana? Not the place where the chasan and kala are sleeping necessarily, but what's that?
It
sounds like some place where they happen to be celebrating at the moment.
Yeah, it's continuous.
Okay, yeah, keep going. You're doing a great job. Kolzman
shehachasan o hakala
heim sham.
Heim sham.
Stop.
Sham.
Stop. What does that mean?
As long as they're wherever they are, it's
where either one of them.
That's another subtle point here, right? Another subtle point is that he says either one. The meal could be taking place and it's being held in honor of either one. Now that's a question. I'm going to leave that for another time. I don't want to get into that now.
Do they both have to be there in order
to... No, that's his point. According to the Ran, does not have to be there.
But then that's kind of, you know, the celebration is the celebration of their marriage together.
It's a good question. It's a good question. Why would the Ran hold that if the chassan, all jokes notwithstanding, right? Why would the Ran hold that if the chassan's there alone, that the simcha is still such that you could still make these brachos. I mean, the whole thing that you're celebrating is the celebration of the marriage. So now you're going to tell me the guy's there without the kala, you can make the brachos and you can sort of speak about the simcha that's now seemingly deficient? Let's leave that alone for now. I don't want to, that's a separate point.
But do you really need to have the kala there to say congratulations on your marriage?
Apparently not. Apparently, according to the Ran, you could say this.
Don't you need the chasan there to say?
You need one of them.
Though?
I mean, it's called birchas chasanim, but that doesn't seem to be so flav dafka.
Okay,
if you look at the lashon of the brachas, it doesn't necessarily refer to the chasan primarily,
well,
right? It's all about the union. It's about their union.
Unity.
Can we talk about the rush yet?
No, I haven't mentioned the rush yet. I have not mentioned the rush. I can't hear you, I'm sorry. I'm saying that's what you think. So I'd like to maybe just leave that question for another time. It's really a separate issue. But the Ran sort of just subtly throws that in there. That if either one is present, it's still appropriate to make the bracha. But could we explain the yisod of the Ran? We have plenty of time. The Ran differs from Tosfos over here, right? Tosa says the only place you can make these brachos is where? Iker, Makom, Yeshivas, Chasan, and Kala.
Yeah.
Now, what is the Ran Moda to?
The first time you have to, or not the first, that you do
sure
have the Iker mitzvah is still
Iker, there. Simcha.
Simcha, yeah, it's still there.
He's definitely Moda that there is a difference between that place that Tosos identifies as Iker, Makom, Yeshivas, Chasan, and Kala, and other places that the Chasan and Kala happen to be.
The Ran differs in Tosfos that the Ran holds that it's wherever, whether they're actually, you know, the yeshiva or whether they're sitting or, you know, establishing themselves somewhere, wherever the chasan and kala are, that's where the simcha is. But Tosfos is saying that...
He's not saying that's where the ikar simcha is, though.
Right, but he's saying that's where the simcha is, where Tosfos says wherever the yeshiva, wherever you go down and settle yourself at that single point, that's where the simcha is.
We said already, according to Tosfos, you can't have the simcha without a kviyas.
Right.
Without the kviyas, you can't have a full reflection of the simcha.
From Ran, it doesn't seem like you need that kviyas.
Good. I'm asking why. What does the Ran? What is it that the Ran's saying about these brachos? When is it that you can say these brachos? Or what is it about the presence of the chasan and kala in any of these base chasanim that make it such that you could say the bracha? Acknowledging that there's something lacking. There is something lacking over here. You can't have Iker Simcha over here.
That the only...
Right? It's not the same. This is just as good. It's not the same.
Maybe you can only have Iker Simcha in your Iker Bias.
Yeah, that's what he's saying, for sure. But yet the brachas don't need that. The brachas don't need that component. So what is it about these other places that allow you to make the bracha? What are you doing there?
Okay.
What do you have there? You have some kind of maisa of simcha, right? You have a maisa simcha without the makom simcha. It's lacking in the makom. And the Ran is acknowledging that. He's saying, you're right. Iker simcha is only at the chuppah. The iker makom simcha is only at the chuppah. But you know what? For the brachos, these brachos are expressions of simcha. And they don't necessarily need the primary makom of simcha to be said. Even though that's deficient, that's lacking. If you go to a restaurant, you go to someone else's house, this is not Iker Simcha. Iker Simcha is not here. But you want to know something? These brachos were not necessarily set up for Iker Simcha. The Iker Simcha is when you're in your own house or in your makam or your koveya, and you can demonstrate that. That's the Iker Simcha. But the brachos, now again, this is where they argue. The according to Tosfos, these brachos can only be said in that place. According to the Ran, no, any place where you could properly have a maisa simcha, you have acts of simcha, you have the drinking, the eating, the merrymaking, and the chasan and kala is there, that creates an air of simcha, that creates an aura of simcha. So those acts of simcha are sufficient to make it such that you can make the brachos. You don't need the ikr makom simcha. You need acts of simcha, and that would mean anywhere. Anywhere that they get together for the purpose of celebrating, if it's a hall, if it's a restaurant, if it's someone else's home. And he says that was the minhag. The minhag was that they would go from one place to another, they would go different batei chasana. What was the lashon again? Batei chasana. They would go to different places. And you see, that's not something new, necessarily, that they would go from one place to another. Yeah.
So
before you ask a question, is everyone clear on this? What we're saying? So you have to say that the Ran acknowledges that there's something that's not there. Because he says, you're right, in the chuppah is ikar simcha. Something over here, it's not ikar simcha. But yet you could say these brachas. Why? These brachas don't demand ikar simcha. Something else over here is enough. What is it? The kala alone. A meal for the kala alone is enough. A meal for the chasen alone is enough. Why? Because that's an expression of simcha. You're doing certain things to be mesameach, the chasen. Oh, you can make the brachas. Yeah.
My question has to do with the next part.
Mikomako?
The mikomako.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that's the Ran's thesis. That's the Ran's idea. You know, that's the Ran's way of viewing this sugya. Then the Ran sort of backtracks a little bit. And he says, you know what? Mikomakom.
Yesh l'chosh l'divrei rabotenu hatzarvatim ba'alei atosos.
Right. He says, practically, you should be choshesh for the ba'alei atosos, the French rabbis. What does that mean?
What does that entail?
It means not doing it like I'm saying it means.
Why would you say that?
Because it's a good question. You should be choshesh for them. You should be choshesh for their position.
Yeah.
Like, Tosos is more machmir.
Respectful.
Tosos is more machmir than the Ran, right?
So you could say that about his own opinion.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
He's pretty much saying, oh, here's my idea, but don't do it.
I guess he felt that even though his theory made sense to him, since you're talking about the possibility of saying brachos inappropriately, and there were a number of respected colleagues of his that argued with him, he said, listen, this is what I think, but you want to know lemaisa, maybe it's kedai to hedge our bet, so to speak. And you find that very often. You know, it's one thing to have an idea, it's one thing to have a svara, it's one thing to be convinced that, you know, maybe it makes sense what you're saying. Then to take the next step, not so pasha. Right? Sometimes you'll say, listen, it makes sense. But you look around and you say, you know what, everyone else argues with me, so I don't want to be the one to say this is the way it should be la'alocha. And you have that throughout history. That there were Rishonim and Achron who wrote that way. You know, there was, the Ran was a little bit uneasy about taking the plunge. You know, it's one thing to have a svara that you think is a good svara. It's one thing to say, I have a chiddush in the way to learn the sugya. But to take it l'halach l'maisa, you need to really be convinced. And sometimes you feel, listen, everyone else around me seems to think otherwise. I don't really know why they don't agree with me, but if this is what they say, maybe it's better not. You know, listen, poskim do that also sometimes. Even poskim say, listen, this is the way I really should feel that it should be, but, you know, my colleagues say not, so I'm not going to poskim against them. It could be that they themselves will do it differently, but they won't poskim for other people like that. I'm saying that's not so shocking to me. It is interesting, right? It is noteworthy that the Ran has this whole presentation. He's clearly taking on Tosfos. And then at the end he says, but mikomokom, just disregard everything I said in practice. And I think it's an important lesson. I really do think it's an important lesson when you learn and when you want to deal with halacha lemaisa. Right? Sometimes you could be very convinced that your idea makes sense in learning, but there's another step to be taken when you want to take that idea to halacha lemaisa. And maybe that requires another, you know, yeshiva and another look at the sugya. I don't mean another yeshiva physically, a different place. I'm saying another sitting in the sugya, right? Yoshev Zayinikiyam to really harva over the sugya before you're willing to say this is the way it should be l'alach l'maisa when you know other people are saying otherwise, right? Takes a lot of confidence and you know, in Yiddish they say you need grace of platus. You need big shoulders to buck the system. Okay, let's take a look at the Rush. I don't know that we'll be able to get the whole sheet of the Rush out today.
It's not like we have to rush through the Rush.
No rushing through the Rush, right? But let's at least see if we could scratch the surface just in terms of the pshat. Yeah, it was recorded.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
You're terrible.
It's okay. It's okay.
My reputation is ruined.
It's classic.
It is.
Yeah. I just said all your jokes are
bad. I didn't say that at all. Simen Ches. The Rush is in Simen Ches. Rip through the riff.
Exactly.
Nice. Let's go. Who's reading? Someone else. A different reader. Sam, you want to do it? Simen Ches. Simen Ches.
Early Resh.
Samach
Page Samach Beis. If you have a traditional Gemara over there.
And Samach Beis. It's like before the.
What did you say? Yeah. No, Simin Ches, Daf Samach Beis.
Backward.
Now, this is what I think is closer to what you're saying, Gil. I think the Rush has your idea. But I don't. What's that?
What is Samach Beis?
Talking about historically or where it's published? The Rush is earlier. The Rush is earlier.
Okay, this is not the Rush.
Yeah,
it's on.
Is
this the Rush?
It's
not
the Rush. Because I learned the Rush.
No, it's upper right if you have the traditional Rush. I see a number of the guys have these fancier Gemaras. For whatever reason, when they redid it, they changed the layout a little bit. So to try to cite to that as well. It's like when you daven in a shul, and a lot of people are still using the Birnbaum Machzor, but they know that most people have the Art School Machzor, so they announce the page on the Art School, but they also throw in the Birnbaum Machzor. Okay.
I know.
If you daven in a traditional shul, you know what I'm talking
here.
About.
They do that here.
That's what I'm talking about, Yom Noroim, yeah. That's all I'm talking about.
They do that here. Right?
Go ahead. They do it here also? No. Go ahead. Wise guy.
There is so much oomph in
there. Right, so he's bringing down, the Rush is just bringing down the whole Gemara over there, right? He's chazwing over the basic discussion in the Gemara. Good. Again, this is all a repetition of the Gemara and the Tosos. Chaim, you have it? Then tell me. Don't just shrug it off. Ches.
I think I'm on the right page.
Okay, so you have. So you're halfway there already. Perikama Diksubis.
Perikama Diksubis. Nami Amrinan. Ema Barsan Birkas Basanen. Elva Beis Basanen.
Right, no, that was Tosos. Tosos said, well, maybe when the Gemara in Ksuba says that you dafka say Birchas Hasanim and Beis Hasanim, maybe that was just intended to argue on Rabbi Yehuda, who said you could even do it in Beis Eirson. Again, there's nothing new here yet. The Rush is just bringing down the whole arichas between the Gemara and Tosafos.
The Tzarek in Mahi Akhupa, Ibe Matam Shemabarak, and the Hainan Tfilos Tisuan.
Is that where it is? Okay, now he's ad-libbing a little bit into Tosos. When Tosos said, we have to know, we have to identify, where is the Chuppah? So he says, is the Chuppah the place where we made these brachos initially, meaning the actual Chuppah, the canopy?
E-F-Shar.
That can't be. Right, sometimes when there's too many people, where do you make the brachos? Out in the street. Can't be that. Good. Stop. That's all Tosos, essentially. Now he starts to... Right? Expand on this idea a little bit. The Nohagin ba'Ashkenaz in Germany, in the Germanic lands.
She'osin
Apiryon.
Apiryon, the Moshav HaPasa.
So what was the Apiryon? The what?
Peloquy.
Yeah.
What's
it? Peliquon.
So it's basically a fancy chair that they would put the kala in.
The shoulder holder.
Yeah, shoulder holder, right. Chassan and Kala. They put the Chassan and Kala on this Apiryon. So today, when they pick up the Chassan and Kala on a chair, and they march around the Chassan and Kala on a chair, you see that that's already an old custom. So it has some antecedent in the Talmudic time, in the Middle Ages.
Yeah, I know. Oh, wow. I didn't realize
Let's
that.
Let's do that at Bar Mitzvah.
I thought it was just shtick.
I know. It could be that it's shtick. I don't know. I'm not really suggesting that one comes to another, but you can see that there's some makar. There's some makar for it. It could be that's where it started.
It's scary. Bar Mitzvah, they do that.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. You're doing great. That's called chuppah. Now, again, it wasn't just the seat. Apparently, it had a, it was covered also. You've seen them in the cartoons or something, some depiction. Looks like a stagecoach that opens up on the side without the horses, right? You know, they're carrying the, okay. Stop. What is he saying here?
That we see now that there's no raya that you don't make the bracha of Birkas Hasadim in a place where the Chassidic College is so randomly
deep. Right. I mean, when you say randomly, it sounds right. But what the Rosh is saying is, you see from here that there's this expanded idea of chuppah. You want to know where we are? Okay, can you just identify what line we're on?
Sure. It's right where it gets wide.
Okay. Narrow, you mean?
Yes, narrow.
The first narrow line on the next column. First narrow line on the next column. Third line down. So he's saying,
like, called
the he's saying that it's called a chuppah, right? Apion is called a chuppah, the place that they would carry. He says that's also called a chuppah. So you don't necessarily need, says the Rosh, you don't necessarily need to have maybe what the Tosos identified as Iker Mokom Yeshivas Chasan and Kala. It could be some other places that will be included in this expanded definition of chuppah. Ein raya she'ein levorich birchas chasanim mokom she'hachasim ha'kala holchim le'echol b'bayis acher. So what does it mean? When we say Ein Simcha El B'Chuppa, what does it mean? Stop. In the context of our Gemara, when our Gemara got so upset and said, no, Ein Simcha El B'Chuppa, why did the Gemara say that? You could only have Simcha in the Chuppa. Why was it saying that?
When there's no...
Right, as he was still really viewing his chuppah or his home as his primary place, as his place. Right, that's he was only leaving, sort of. I don't want to say under duress, but he was only leaving because he had to go into the sukkah. But really, he viewed his chuppah as his real makom. All right. And then he's coming back to his chuppah. Stop. But, contrasted to the case in Sukkah, if he picks up with his whole entourage, right, and they go where? They go somewhere else, they go to another house, and they make the party over there. What does he say about that?
That's also
about that. Osim oso bias iker. Gam sham varich sham berchas chasanim. Before we read the rest, does that understand what he's saying? Factually? When I leave my sukkah, when I leave my house as the chassan and I have to go into the sukkah, so okay, I feel like I have to do it because of the sukkah, but if not for that, I really feel like I'm leaving the party. I'm uprooting myself from what? From everything that's going on in the house. But when I take everyone with me and I go someplace else, it doesn't mean literally everyone's coming with me, but it means all the revelers are in another place, like let's say like today's standard. You get invited a different night of the week, you go to a different place. Chassan and Kala, one night they're in this neighborhood, one night they're in this neighborhood, one night they're in this guy's house, one night they're in this guy's house, one night they're in this guy's restaurant. At least that's the way it is in New York. I don't know, outside of New York, if that's so common, but that's the way it seems to be here. I'm guessing in some other places it's similar to that. I guess it depends upon how many restaurants you have in the given neighborhood, if you could do that. If you only have one, then you're limited, or zero, right? Zero. Then yeah. See, we're spoiled. But
I like the
phone. How are you, huh?
We're not over there.
I'm kind of spoiled too. Yes.
Yeah. What are you joking? Florida? You could go on vacation and eat every day of the week in a different place.
Oh yeah, sure.
So I'm saying there's plenty of places. Yeah. Don't see, even when you live there, there's plenty of restaurants. It's not like go to one place.
Yeah. Is this the claim that's being made right now? That's the craziest thing you've ever
seen. Oh, come on. In any event, that's the common practice. I don't want to get a whole discussion about this now, but that's the common practice. So what would the Rosh seemingly say about that? Saying that's not like leaving your sukkah and going right back again to the chuppah because you really feel that you're really rooted in the chuppah. Over here, it's not daito lachzor in that sense. You're going there. That's what you're making your celebration. Right now, this is where you want to be. It's not that you feel like, I don't really want to be here. No, that's what you're making your party. Now, I will say this. There are two different ways to learn this rush. Okay, we're going to just I'm doing it superficially now, but keep in mind that there are two ways to understand this statement of the Rosh. And maybe I'm slanting it towards one direction now, but we'll see that there are really two ways to understand what the Rosh means. And then he goes on to say, V'chein hayo maisa ba'odam echa. So let's read that maisa. Were you reading? Yeah. So there was a maisa involving a certain chassan. He went with his kalash, a holy kalosol iracheres. He escorted her to another city, meaning not where they were residing apparently. And they said you should make birchas chasanim over there. And then he goes a step further. Now this is a little bit different. What he's talking about here seems to be a case where you have the big party, but it's not all taking place in one place. It's being done in a number of different places because you can't accommodate everyone in one spot. So it's being spread out. So in those other satellite places, you're not going to necessarily make the bracha, the Birkos Chasanim.
In which case? In this case that you just quoted.
The Chein Hayamaisa?
Yeah, so is he saying that they needed the Chasan to make Birkos Chasanim? Because that's the only reason why I said it before.
That
they need the chasan. Do you need the chasan?
The presence of the chasan?
Yes.
You mean, why does he say that they vehetzrichuhu?
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know if he means. No, I don't think that means they required his presence. I think it means they required them to make the brachos.
What's the difference?
You're saying something different. You're saying you need the presence of the chasan to make the brachos.
Yeah, where
I'm saying what he's saying is that they required the assembly to make the brachos. They obligated them to make the brachos. Hey, you don't live here, you're just traveling to Ir Acheres, maybe you shouldn't make the brachos. No, Hitzrichuhu, they required them to make the brachos.
Oh,
they obligated them to make the brachos.
Okay.
Right?
Obligated the chosen kala.
Well, again, I don't know what he means v'hitzrichuhu. It does sound like they told the chassan to, but the chassan is not the one that makes the zayin brachos generally. So I don't know.
Yeah.
So I know why that language is a little bit misleading, but I don't think it means specifically him. I don't think so. And it doesn't mean hitzrichuhu. They needed his presence. I don't know if he's specifically taking on the shita of the Ran, where the Ran says it could be either or, right? I mean, there might be those that argue, but I don't know if this is the place where they argue. Okay? Can we just go on a little bit further?
Okay.
No, before the Shamash case. What, that last case. Let's just do that last case. What is he saying over there? Yeshom shim ochim bedaldo behei batim. The Suda doesn't all fit in one room. A lot of guests. She'in mevarchan shasimchim ono uberchas chasanim. Why not? Shasimcha b'maono berchas chasanim. Ella. Eino, if you see on the Gosa Bach, the Bach takes out that word. Shasimcha b'maono berchas chasanim. Ella b'beis hachupa. It really should be, honestly, I think it should be Eino Ella. Makes more sense, Eino Ella. The Bach says just take out the word eino. Does anyone follow me? You're going to get a lot of blank stares.
Yeah.
What? You're out?
Yeah.
You're out? Matei?
Yeah.
I don't see why it changes it.
Yeah. Well,
which?
Exactly.
Eino or not eino.
Yeah, what is eino?
You're saying, okay.
In no one else.
Rather,
this
is
not
true except for this. Or
Shein mevarchan shasimcha b'maono b'chasanim. There should be a sheh. Basically, it should be she eino ella. Someplace shasim maono birchas hasanim eino ella bebeis chupa. No, actually, it does make sense. I'm sorry, take that back. Shein mevarchin shasim maono birchas hasanim eino ella. I'll tell you what the problem is, because it doesn't. Somewhere along the line, there's something that doesn't read properly. V'yesh omrim shem ochim bedalo hebatim shein mevarchin shasim maono birchas hasanim. Why? It should be she eino ella bebeis chupa. No, ultimately it's the same meaning. I'm just saying that there's something missing. There's a letter missing or there's a word missing to make it read properly. Either you have to repeat the whole phrase or you need to stick in a shin over here. All right, Echshia, yeah, we understand what he's saying. Without the base chasanim, you can't make the bracha.
Right. Is this a grammatical error then?
I don't know if it's a grammatical error. It could just be that somebody copied down the rush with either an extra word or a missing letter. But it doesn't radically change the intent or the meaning of the rush's position. Okay, so we'll stop here, and Blineta, next time we'll go over this rush again. We'll continue with the rush. So on Monday, if for whatever reason you get here early and you want to know what to do, we're going to start with this rush. You can go through the rush again, try to pick up on the different possible way of reading the rush. There is two ways to read the rush. And this Hagos Ashri. You see the Hagos Ashri immediately to the left? Right next to that rush that we were reading, there's a little... Yeah, he quotes the Or Zeruah, the sheet of the Or Zeruah there, the Hagah. That's referred to as the Hagos Ashri, written by, not the rush, by someone else. There's another sheet of the Or Zeruah that's cited therein. Take a look at that. And for those that are very industrious, you could take a look at the Taz in the Evan Nahezer in Simon Samach Beis, Sivkot and Zion. That's where he really analyzes the two possibilities in the rush. Okay? So we'll stop here. And 11:15 tomorrow. 11:15, halacha from the Pasha.
I should call in tomorrow?
Yeah, call in tomorrow, sure.
Okay, great.
Okay, we'd love to see you.
Alright.
Okay. Alright, I don't know, guys that don't generally come on Friday, you're encouraged to come Friday. I know a lot of guys don't come Friday, but you're certainly welcome and... Yeah, you can call in. Call in 11:15.